The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, fellas, take a look at this from Stephen A., who was tuned in during the top of the show, and he was loving the combo on KD. He hopped on social media and tweeted, "I'm loving First Take this morning, especially you, Windhorse. ESPN brings a tear to my eye. Way to go, Kendrick Perkins, Freddie Coleman. I'm watching y'all. Never forget that. Carry the hell on." Yes, Perk, I can steal that on my vacation. What do we think about that, fellas?
When does he sleep? Seriously. When I go on vacation, I trust people.
Because Stephen A. is supposed to be on vacation on the West Coast. Come on.
We love you, Stephen A.
Exactly. Brother never stops grinding.
Over there wiggling his toes in the sand.
We love it. We love you, Stephen A. Thanks for hanging from afar with us. All right. Well, shall we carry the hell on into the NBA and get back to it, fellas?
Absolutely.
All right, well, in their blowout victory, which saw the Celtics beating the Bucks 140-99, Jason Tatum had himself a 40-point game, scoring 12 of 18 shooting, which included knocking down 8 of his 10 three-pointers. Well, Giannis is averaging 31.1 points per game this season, shooting 55% from the field. Jason Tatum is right behind him, averaging 30.2 points per game. And in their head-to-head matchups, Tatum has dropped 40 points twice and has 11 40-point games this season, tied with Larry Bird, which is most season in the Celtics history. All right, Perk, I'm going to start with you. Giannis is a two-time MVP and an NBA champion, but is Tatum on the same tier as Giannis?
Yes. And look, I believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the world, okay? But it's not by far. Okay, you have multiple guys that are sitting at the same dinner table or in the same entrees as Giannis. And Jason Tatum is one of them. When I look at Jason Tatum, and we're talking about the now, think about what he is. A 6'10 guy that has the complete offensive package that is capable of locking down on the other end playing 1-5. He has zero flaws in his game offensively. When you talk about the handle, he has that. When you talk about his pull-up three, he has that. Now, to take it a step further, he plays in one of the most historical franchises in sports history. He's on pace in the same franchise of Paul Pierce played in, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Bill Russell, the list goes on, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, Cornbread Maxwell, my guy. He's about to be the first player in Celtic history to average 30 points a game in a season. That speaks volumes in itself when you set the bar. So is Giannis, yes, is he the best player in my eyes? But is Jason Tatum in the same tier, sitting at the same table? Hell yeah, he is, along with a few others like Embiid and Jokic and still LeBron James, who's averaging 38-7 at the age of 38 years of age.
I'm going to say he's a little bit below Kendrick because you make a fair point. I call Jason Tatum Dr. J with a jump shot because that's who he reminds me of. His ability to elevate, get into the lane and extend. How much we see Dr. J, he's able to extend past people and make those kind of shots and dunk on people. That's who Jason Tatum reminds me a lot of, Dr. J with a jump shot. But here's why I put him just a little bit below a Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's not far away from the adult table, but he's not exactly the kid's table. He's just walking around a plate of food hoping to get at the adult table when it comes to Jason Tatum. I think that's why he's a notch below, but here's why. Because Giannis has been able to do it in a championship situation and win a championship while injured, down 2-0 to the Phoenix Suns. He single-handedly led that team back and won that championship when Phoenix had all that pressure and had a 2-0 lead in the series. That's not to say Jason Tatum can't do it or does not have the ability to do it. To bring memory to our memory, he did lead the Celtics to a 2-1 lead against the Golden State Warriors last year in the NBA Finals before Golden State became Golden State and Andrew Wiggins had the series of a lifetime, especially both ends of the floor for the Warriors. But Giannis can impose his will on a game, and he does not settle. And when you don't settle, and I know he doesn't shoot great free throw percentage, shoots less than 65%, but he's getting that 18, 19 times. And in a playoff situation, the ability to shoot better free throws in those situations, that's why I put him a little bit above Jason Tatum. You make a very fair point, Kendrick, in terms of on the same tier. I put him a little bit below because Giannis can – I've seen him impose his will on a game. And I go back to last year. Game 7, he got that team in Game 7 versus Boston. They had Chris Middleton. Maybe we're not talking about being blown out 109-81 like what happened because he didn't have one of his dudes with him. Jason Tatum is fantastic. He's terrific. He's just a little bit below, in my opinion, when it comes to Giannis, based on the fact that Giannis has the chip, and I think he can impose his will more in the game right now with his force of will than Jason Tatum can.
So when I look at the guys at the absolute top of the profession, mm-hmm. I think about the ability to have what I've long called the Matrix moment. Now, I'm a little bit behind for Generation Z and Generation Alpha here. I might have to make some sort of John Wick thing because it was Keanu Reeves' previous trilogy. Yeah. But was when Neo stopped the bullets, okay? Because I yep. see this with these great players where they get to a point in a playoff situation where they stop the bullets. I've seen LeBron do it. They bend the game into their direction. I've seen Kawhi do it. I've seen Durant do it. I've seen Curry do it. Last year, Game 6... in Milwaukee, Jason Tatum was right there, Neo, stopping the bullets and carrying that team. And that is my expectation for him. He is that type of player, in my opinion. I am an extreme believer in Jason Tatum. I have been for several years. I spent 3 weeks with him in China in 2019 as part of Team USA. Even though he got hurt during that World Cup, I saw his potential there. He is going to be the flag bearer for Team USA, I believe, in the future. He is going to take the mantle from Durant, like Durant took the mantle from LeBron, and LeBron took the mantle from Kobe. That is what I think of him. He has the ability to do it, but he has not quite done it yet. Last year in the finals, and I know that he was dealing with a wrist injury, and I know he was dealing with some fatigue, he couldn't quite do it. And so when it comes to tiers, when you get into discussions of nuance there, I don't know where he fits. I don't, you know, he's certainly above like 99.9% of the league. He's going to be fourth on my MVP ballot. The one thing about the MVP ballot, I will guarantee you, is that Jason Tatum is going to finish fourth. The straw poll that Tim Bontemps put out yesterday, 90% of the votes had him at fourth. Being fourth in the MVP is awesome. But to elevate into that next level, he's going to have that Matrix moment at the point in the finals. He can do it. I believe he can do it. It can happen this year. The one thing I'd say about his game is over the last couple of years, as Perk talked about a few minutes ago, he's tended to go out to that three-point line. Now, he's doing it because it's what his coach wants him to do. But he is 6'9", 6'10", has incredible skill. Dr. J-level ability in going to the basket, as Freddie just said. I would like to see him remember to do that because one of the things that Giannis has shown, you know, and his Matrix moment, I can tell you the second I knew it was happening, Game 6, 2021 Finals, I mean, clear as day, he stopped the bullets and said, "You cannot beat me." And he did it by force of will. Jason Tatum has the talent and the size and the skill to do that, but he probably is going to determine to him to take it by the horns and be aggressive going to the basket. Don't try to win the title with the three-pointer. Now, they can win playoff games. He won last night shooting the three-pointer. You know, he that 46-point game in the playoffs last year, shooting was a big part of that. But the thing that I know Giannis can do is I know he can grab you by the throat by going to the rim. Tatum is going to have to do that at some point in this postseason.
Well, so here's the thing. I look at Tatum and I look at the run that he had last season, okay? And I look at not what he did, but how he did it and who he went through to actually get to the NBA Finals. I watched him go head-to-head with Kevin Durant, and we pulled out the brooms and he swept them. He was the best player in that series. Then I watched him go toe-to-toe with Giannis Antetokounmpo, and we talked about that Game 6 performance where he had to go in there and get a must-win to get the Game 7 back to Boston. And then I saw him go against playoff Jimmy Butler. See, playoff Jimmy Butler is different than regular season Jimmy Butler. Playoff Jimmy Butler all of a sudden elevating to that top seven, top five conversation. And then I seen him run into an experienced Golden State team with a Steph Curry that had it on his mind. And see, what happens is this. When you have a young team, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who was 24 years of age last year, going into the finals, see, people don't realize you can get caught up in the moment and forget that this basketball is just like people who go into fights fighting Floyd Mayweather and you have a major a mega boxing match. Sometimes Floyd didn't already beat you before you stepped into the ring because he didn't been there before. He didn't seen all the photo shoots when you arrive in Vegas and all the attention. You have to be prepared for that type of atmosphere. So when I talk about Giannis and I talk about JT, again, I'm going to say this. In my eyes, Giannis is the best player in the league. But I will say this. Jason Tatum, Embiid, Jokic are knocking at his door and right on his heels. And I still think they're at the same table.
Absolutely. They're at the same table. Now, we got to take a break. Now, I want to add that Boston trails Milwaukee by two games in the standings for the top seed in the conference and best record in the NBA. Now, we've got to take a...
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Break.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We now welcome in Monica McNutt. Now, Monica, Caitlin Clark put on a historic performance against Louisville to get her team to the Final Four. What will the team need from her to beat South Carolina?
Well, Victoria, they're going to need a whole lot more of that with a special focus on rebounding, and not just from her, but from her team entirely. Look, there's no secret. Caitlin Clark is 100% box office. However, and as I've had the opportunity to pump up the tournament on our program, I've said that it comes down to a player versus a team. And I just think when you look at South Carolina, Aaliyah Boston was last year's player of the year, and she's continued to be just as good this year for South Carolina. The rebounding margins, the depth, and the bench production stand out as things that will be big-time factors in this particular ballgame. Now, if Caitlin Clark were to pull this off, y'all, that would be one historic upset. But it's going to be a very, very tall task.
Yeah, especially when styles make fights, Monica, and you know this. You have that offense of what Iowa's been able to do, getting up and down the floor, playing an NBA-type game. And you have the defense of South Carolina barely giving up 51 points per game. We know that South Carolina has slowed down teams before, but Caitlin Clark is that special. What do you think they're going to do or have to do to make sure she doesn't go off like she did last week in the Elite Eight game?
Well, Freddie, Don said to us they know that Caitlin is going to eat. That's no secret. But she said we don't want to give her the appetizer and the entree, which I thought was a perfect analogy. Caitlin, you got to think the way we think when we talk LeBron, right? Either make him a facilitator or a scorer. That's sort of the same conundrum when it comes to slowing down Caitlin Clark, right? And so what I think South Carolina probably will do is deploy their quick, athletic, and rangy defenders, starting with Bria Beal, who is their defensive specialist. But you've also got Letitia Amihir. You've got Bree Hall. You've got a plethora of players that can guard her with their length and their speed. But more than just Caitlin Clark, you guys, folks have to understand that in that matchup versus Louisville, Louisville deployed as much double teams, pressure, running her off the line as they could, but she had 11 assists in that ballgame, right? Part of that historic 40-point triple-double. she was able to find her teammates. The thing that's different about South Carolina is not only can they put a terrific and tenacious defender on her primarily, but the other four can also guard the other four players that will be available for Iowa. And so I think against Louisville, you saw three-point shooters get loose versus Louisville's pressure. I don't know that that's going to happen as frequently or with as much ease versus South Carolina because they have athletes that can cover a tremendous amount of ground, Freddie, with just a couple of steps. And then if you throw in a little bit of range when they reach out to extend to contest with a high hand, they just cover so much space as a collective. They close gaps and they get out to shooters. Beyond that, they are terrific on the glass. In this tournament, in totality, they've out-rebounded all of their opponents by 73 rebounds, not to mention that they get 48% of the missed shots that they have. So they are dogged on the offensive glass. And so I just think, in totality, a team that can go 12 deep for as dynamic as Caitlin Clark is, I don't know if she got 12 individual performances that she can match solo.
Now, who do you expect to be the biggest difference maker in this game?
Well, I don't know if it's a single person. I think it's going to be the bench. And I continue to say that the depth of South Carolina Victoria is problematic, not just for Iowa, but for the entire landscape of women's college basketball. In the tournament, though, the Gamecocks are getting 30 points off of their bench. The Hawkeyes, in comparison, are getting just 12 from their bench. And so if for whatever reason the starting five for Don Staley's crew were to come out a little sluggish or not focused, if for whatever reason, because human nature is human nature, she's got a whole nother five that she can deploy with confidence, right? And so I think, as I anticipate for this game, y'all, I think it'll be a good game probably for about a half. And then there's some adjustments made, and then you start to see the depth start to step in, and that's where South Carolina will begin to separate themselves just a little bit. But I don't think this is going to be the blowouts that we're accustomed to seeing from South Carolina. I think Iowa is playing some of its best basketball, and Caitlin Clark, as you have seen, has elevated and is playing her best basketball as the lights have gotten brighter. But I'm still taking South Carolina in this one and not really blinking.
And if they win, they'll take on the win of LSU versus Virginia Tech. That's the first game at 7 o'clock Eastern time tonight on ESPN. And we got a lot of conversation involving what Virginia Tech's been able to do under Kenny Brown, first black male coach to lead the team to a Final Four in women's basketball. You got on the other side, we don't know what Kim Mulkey's going to wear in the sidelines. Look like some Mardi Gras parade. So that's another question when it comes to that. But the biggest player in this game is the Bayou Barbie, Angel Reese. What do you expect that Virginia Tech can do to maybe slow her down to make sure Bayou Barbie doesn't do what she normally does, that is get a double-double against her opponent?
All right, Freddie, so there's a lot to unpack in that second game. I do think that's going to be the better game tonight. But let me just say this. Kenny Brooks getting to this moment, it has been a long time coming. And this is kind of cool for me because Kenny Brooks actually recruited me out of high school when he was still back at JMU. So it's been really cool to see him go and bring this Hokies program to a Final Four for the first time in school history, right? On the other side, you've got Kim Mulkey, who we heard in the clip leading into this segment, went to LSU to bring them a national championship. And she pointed out yesterday with us, you know, this is just her second year, and she's taken a team to the Final Four. The only person that has done that other than her is our very own Carolyn Peck, who did it back in the day. But Carolyn didn't have to navigate the transfer portal in the way that Kim Mulkey has. Like, Kim has 9 transfers on this squad. And so when I think of this matchup, yes, Angel Reese is going to be the headliner. Angel is relentless on the glass. She's quick off the bounce, whether it's her missed shot or one of her teammates' missed shot. She is hunting that basketball and looking for a second chance opportunity. But as important as her statistics are, she's also the vocal leader for this squad. And she told us that this team's X factor is going to be if they can find a way to shoot the basketball with better efficiency. That, quite frankly, has been something that LSU has struggled with over the course of this tournament, and that is no secret amongst them, right? And so if they can shoot the basketball at a higher clip, then they're putting together some of their best basketball on both sides of the floor. As interesting as Angel Reese is, one of the marquee matchups in this game will be with Virginia Tech's Liz Kittley, who is a 2-time ACC Player of the Year, another walking double-double, but their games are very different. Liz is a lot more patient in the paint. She operates with her back to the basket. She's got a beautiful Dirk Nowitzki S one-legged fadeaway that she can hit just around that mid-range. And she is one of a two-headed snake for Virginia Tech alongside Georgia Amore, who has been shooting lights out from behind the three-point line and has the most dazzling personality, guys. And so in that particular matchup, I expect Virginia Tech to rely on their team defense, which is something they take a ton of pride in, and to be aggressive and attack LSU's defense.
All right, Monica, quickly, who do you have played in the final?
I've got the South Carolina Gamecocks versus the Virginia Tech Hokies.
All right, you heard it from the best, Monica McNutt. Thank you for joining us.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Now, Perk, how much pressure is on KD's legacy now to win a title with the Suns?
Oh, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. And it starts with when he left Golden State, okay? Yeah. Because he could have stayed there and won a whole lot of more championships, maybe five of them, okay, with him, Steph, Clay, and Draymond. But he chose to leave to go with Kyrie Irving. Then when he got with Kyrie Irving, we saw what happened between him and James Harden. In my opinion, the biggest disappointment in NBA history. Now, Kevin Durant, once Kyrie Irving requested a trade, he also requested a trade, and he also had teams that he wanted to get traded to, and Phoenix was one of them. Why? Because of CP3 and Devin Booker. And why you go there? Because not just because they're your buddies, but because you know that they're top-tier players that are on a mission to try to win a championship, a team that went to the finals 2 years ago but couldn't get it done, and you're actually the missing piece. So, yes, it's pressure on Kevin Durant this season, and I'm not trying to hear nothing else past that. I don't want to hear it. It's pressure on him to deliver a title in Phoenix, Arizona.
All right, Wendy, what about you?
Yeah, so I agree with Perk in the fact that ever since he left Oklahoma City, really he's put himself in position to be on teams that are star-laden and the expectation is to compete for a title. Had he stayed in Oklahoma City, I think there might have been a little bit more a slack, especially if he had gotten one there. But he's put himself in this position, but it's not a new position. The one thing I will say is I don't think it's title or bust this year for the Suns. I know that there is a layer of pressure because Chris Paul is up there in age and definitely not in his prime anymore. And the idea is you got to take advantage of Chris while you have him. That's true. They definitely have a team that can compete. But I think when Kevin Durant selected the Suns, he was selecting a partnership with Devin Booker, which in my mind definitely made way more sense all across the board than selecting a partnership with Kyrie Irving. And so Booker is much younger than him. And yes, while Durant has had some injuries and he's now into his mid-30s, I don't see Durant, when he's healthy, slowing down. And I think Booker is playing the best basketball of his career right now. Now, remember, he was first team All-NBA last year. That was a 60-win team. This year, he was bothered early in the season by hamstring and groin injuries. Since he's come back, look at his numbers. They are MVP-level numbers since he came back. So they've got to work on that roster a little bit. They need to add some pieces. They're going to go for it this year, for sure. But don't look at it like, oh, my gosh, if they don't win this year in this jammed-together team with no time to get rhythm, then all of a sudden it's a failure. Give them a bit of a window here because that's what Durant bought by going to Phoenix.
The trampoline off, Wendy, what you said about Devin Booker, last 10 games averaging over 30 points a game, shooting 53% from the field, over 34% from three, and over 88% from the free throw line his last 10 games. You are spot on about how he's been at an MVP level. You want to prorate that over an 82-game season. That's how terrific he's been in the last two games, especially without Kevin Durant. But whatever word you want to use, to me, is appropriate. Pressure, scrutiny, whatever that is. You don't push your way out of Brooklyn to go to a team to be in the lottery. And that's not where the Phoenix Suns are. You push yourself out of Brooklyn because you wanted to do what? To win a championship. You want to give yourself the best opportunity to win a championship. So whether it's self-imposed pressure or exterior scrutiny, it all matters, and it's all fair or unfair depending on how he digests that when it comes to Kevin Durant. And real quick, think about the pressure that's going to be on him in Phoenix. that a guy that he used to play with won't have to deal with because nobody believes that Kyrie Irving is going to get it done now. Dallas is a complete dumpster fire right now. They can't play any defense. They gave it two of their best defensive players. If anything, all that pressure scrutiny has shifted to Kevin Durant, where Kyrie Irving doesn't have to deal with that. Because together, we saw how it unraveled that basketball team for so many different reasons. But now, if you're Kevin Durant, you push yourself out of Brooklyn to win a championship. The Nets couldn't wait to get rid of Kyrie Irving, so they were able to be better in the future. So you're Kevin Durant, this is your opportunity. You wanted out of Brooklyn. They weren't going anywhere. Now you're with a team that is 0 for championships. They've been there three times in NBA Finals and have not won one. They want to make sure that they don't go 0 for 4, and he's going to be a big part of that one way or the other in Phoenix.
Think about
and the last time KD won a title, he was 28 back in 2018 with the Warriors. We could keep talking about this all day, but we have to take it to a break.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We now welcome in ESPN college basketball analyst and former Notre Dame forward Jordan Cornette, who has a birthday today. Happy birthday. Now, Jordan, what does this year's Final Four say about the state of college basketball?
V. Freddie, it's great to be spending my birthday with you two here today. I appreciate you having me on. Look, it says what it's kind of said every year. I mean, it's called March Madness for a reason, right? I mean, there's always some madness involved. This year, there's only one kind of blue blood in Connecticut. I'm going to go ahead and call UConn a blue blood because understanding their tradition and history is rich. But beyond that, it says to me, we're going to get a lot more of this. And why we're going to get a lot more of this is because of the NIL and, more importantly, the transfer portal landscape that we live in. Understanding the tournament generates madness in moments like this, but you're seeing now boosters, donors, fans of different programs, Freddie, that are saying, hey, look, I want a seat at the table. I want my program to be very good. I'm going to give the money necessary to give us a seat at the table. And that's everywhere. But beyond that, it's how these recruiters, how these coaches take talent in the transfer portal and make them fit their culture. Miami's a prime example of a group that's been able to do that with Nigel Pack and Norchad Omir, and that's why they're in the Final Four.
Yeah, they turned Miami from a football school into a basketball school. Did I say that out loud? I mean, maybe not say that again. But what does that team, as tough as they are, and you're right about Pack and Wong, and Jordan Miller was terrific, going undefeated from the field last week in the Final Four, getting to the Final Four for Miami. What do they have to do to make sure UConn, who's been the best team in the tournament, does not get the money to play for a championship?
Here's the thing. UConn's been lights out. It's one of the more dominant runs I've seen in tournament history. I mean, it's all about playing your best basketball at the right time. UConn's elected to play their basketball at the right time. Problem is, Miami has as well. Look, I just try to harken back to when I played the game, and the toughest matchups and the teams that really concerned me were teams that had multiple bucket getters, because you can't take your defense and focus on one guy. When Miami steps on that floor, despite what UConn is, Miami has more guys that can score in isolation. Miami presents at least four guys that can get their own shot, get it efficiently, and get it inside the arc, and do it also outside the arc. This is a Miami group that's quite simply too dynamic offensively to guard, with a Hall of Fame coach that's going to throw a lot of defensive schemes at you, in Coach Larinaga, but most importantly, a Swiss Army knife in Jordan Miller. Miami is the team that I like to advance past UConn.
Oh, okay.
Now, can you talk to me? I mean, I'm feeling the same way. No, can you?
Molly's not listening right now. Molly's, it's her birthday and she's on vacation, right?
Happy birthday, Molly.
Molly? Oh, yeah, we got Gary Jordan point of this segment. All right, we got it. No, Jordan's not going to be
not a great birthday present. Not a great birthday present. Now, UConn aside, how big would it be for FAU, San Diego State, or Miami to win?
Well, I guess I'd lead with the FAU. I mean, if FAU were to win this tournament, I know we're all giving them respect, and they deserve it. I was there in Columbus for their first round. I saw them squeak by Memphis. But what I saw in an FAU team representing Conference USA was quite simply a team that can beat anybody in the country with how balanced and how efficient they are. This is a group that's very scrappy on the backboard, rebounding. They go nine deep. They have a lot of different weapons. And it's all about, in a tournament, your personnel elevating. And it's been a different guy at moments. It's been Davis. It's been Greenlee. You can go down the list with this group. It's been Golden as well. So for FAU, if they're able to win a national championship, Florida Atlantic, grouped out of Boca, that plays in front of 2,000 people, I mean, that is madness on 10s. That is defining what this tournament can be at an apex. If they win this tournament, no matter how talented they are, it will be an incredible story.
It also shows the state of college basketball that we don't have that one dominant player like we used to have, or along the lines with Jay Williams when he played at Duke, or Anthony Davis at Kentucky. So out of the four teams left, who's the best remaining player that's in the tournament so far?
It's got to be Jordan Hawkins. I mean, Freddie, this boy is a bad man. And Jordan Hawkins has been great all season long for Hurley's squad at UConn, but he's become more efficient in this tournament. Two most important rounds, Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, to get them there. This young man combined for 44 points in those games and shooting around 50% from the three-point line. I mean, that is master efficiency. Look, I heard my guy LaFonso Ellis say it before. He's a Notre Dame man, so clearly I take a lot of credence in what he says. He gets a lot of credit. First-round talent at the guard spot matters in this tournament. First-round talent can carry you to a national championship. Yep. Jordan Hawkins is a first-round talent. He's head and shoulders more talented than everybody in this thing. And that's no disrespect to the second-best player in Jordan Miller, who he will be facing in that first round. But when Jordan Hawkins has it going from the perimeter, with that UConn front line and how dangerous Sonogo and Klingon have been, when you couple that with efficient stud, potential lottery pick guy, it's hard to beat. Give me Hawkins any day of the week.
Now, who do you have winning it all? Just going to throw the big hammer out there. Who do you have winning it all, Jordan?
ACC basketball. Everybody sits up on all these shows and likes to poo-poo on the ACC, a historically down year. Let's get Cornetta in to talk about what's wrong with the ACC. I don't know, because every time it seems to get to March, we're talking about an ACC team, aren't we, V and Freddie? That's what it seems like to me. So we've got another one here with a Hall of Fame coach and Coach Larrañaga, the first place team in the ACC representing that conference that got poo-pooed upon all year long. Give me the Miami Hurricanes to win the national championship. Not because I'm being defiant, not because I'm feeling myself on my 40th, but because I believe how this group scores the basketball, it can be any of those four guys and go off for 30 points for this group, propel them to a win. They're scrappy rebounding. They can turn you over, but they pursue twos better than anybody. They can get the defensive foul trouble. I love this group. I said in January they're a Final Four team. I rarely get an opportunity to look smart. I'm cashing in on this one. Give me Miami to win the national championship. And feel free to have me back on at the end of the weekend if I'm not in too bad a shape. I have to celebrate my 40.
Hey, it's your 40th birthday. You're allowed to do it. True. The weather report's in. It's going to be a hurricane. Well done. Happy birthday, Jordan. Thank you for joining the show.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
All right. All right, it is time for a quick take. Potential number one overall pick Anthony Richardson threw at Florida's Pro Day and put on a show of arm strength and accuracy in front of NFL personnel following his standout combine performance. Harry, does Richardson have the highest ceiling of any quarterback on the board?
Yeah, I think he does. When you look at the athleticism, the freaky athleticism, as you see the backflip right there, a guy that has the arm strength, you can do the QB run game, you can keep him in a pocket, you can put him on the move. I think infrastructure is the most important thing in this sequence for Anthony Richardson. Having a quarterback coach, having a head coach, having an offensive coordinator, guys that can help guide him and help teach him certain things, little nuances of the game, I think he'll be a perfect fit.
Okay. All right. To the NFL. Yeah. Let's keep it rolling. Yeah. As we still wait for an Aaron Rodgers deal to be officially made, it's been 2 weeks since Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show and announced his plan to join the Jets and that the hangup was on the Packers figuring out the appropriate compensation. Our Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler put out a recap of the NFL annual meeting yesterday on ESPN.com and dove into the latest on Aaron Rodgers, saying, quote, Yahoo Sports report that the 2024 protections, a conditional pick if Rodgers were to retire after this coming season, for example, are a hang-up that makes a lot of sense because execs I spoke to early in the process believe that would be an issue for the Jets. All right, we got Bart Scott and Harry Douglas are back with us. And Freddie, I'm going to start with you.
Because I'm a Jets fan. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Who? Jets?
there's a lot to unpack there. All right. When the Jets are officially able to acquire Rodgers, is it Super Bowl or bust for them?
That's not just a yes. That's a hell yes. Because you told everybody that with those filthy McNasties on defense and the guys you got coming back on offense with Garrett Wilson, you get Mecole Hardman, you get Alan Lazard, Ali Varatuk is coming back, who could be one of the best guards in football. You told everybody who is somebody that we are a quarterback away. So it better be Super Bowl or bust. And by the way, if you're a Jets organization, it can smack of being a desperate move going after Aaron Rodgers. But no, you don't get an opportunity like this that comes around all the time to have a guy, even if it's only 1 year. I'd rather have Aaron Rodgers for 1 year throwing the ball backwards than Zach Wilson throwing the ball forwards for another 3 to 4 years. So there's no question it's a Super Bowl or bust for the Jets because they told everybody we're a quarterback away. Well, now the quarterback is here. Go out there and prove it and show everybody that you know exactly what you have in your football team.
Now, Bart, before I get to you, I want to just point out that footage right there was in 1969 with Joe Namath.
That was an
against
OD, right?
The Baltimore Colts.
Broadway Joe.
Nobody saw that one coming. All right. All right.
You're looking at color.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You pointed out that you were
Freddie was there.
Old.
I was there. I wasn't there. I was here, but not there.
You were 3 years old. All right, Bart. Is it Super Bowl or bust for the Jets and Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think it's Super Bowl or bust all the way. I think, listen, they just want to be respectable. Now they've joined that list of the team that has the longest hiatus from the postseason. I think you think about adding Aaron Rodgers, bring some respectability. What a difference a year makes. You know, last year being spurned by Tyreek Hill saying, who the Jets? But now, you know, it's become a destination that people want to come to. Aaron Rodgers has two tasks. One is to make the Jets respectable, maybe get them to the postseason, try and win the Super Bowl. Also, mentor Zach Wilson, who he kind of mentors as well. Because, listen, you can't give up on Zach Wilson. We just watched Geno Smith just get the bag after getting a second opportunity. Zach Wilson has to mature. You know, he's a guy that didn't play a lot in college. So, you know, for me, I think it's not about, you know, just winning a championship. It's about making this a place, a destination again, like Rex Ryan did for a brief time.
Well, I can't say it's a Super Bowl or bust for the Jets. They just need to get into the playoffs. And I do believe if the Aaron Rodgers trade goes through and also if Odell Beckham Jr. comes to that team, they have now become my favorite to win the AFC East if those two things happen.
Okay.
But I'm not going to sit here and say Super Bowl or bust. This is a team that hasn't been to the playoffs in a very, very long time.
12 years.
And you also can't disrespect the quarterback gauntlet that's in the AFC. You talk about Mahomes, Burrow, Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence, and what he was able to do last season, and also Tua Tagovailoa and Lamar Jackson. And if he stays with the Baltimore Ravens, which I don't think is going to happen.
Come back to
him. Oh, yeah, Deshaun.
I hear what you guys are saying, but they told us about Zach Wilson, that this is the guy for the franchise. When you keep selling people a bill of goods like that, then you put that kind of pressure in your organization. Because that's all we heard last year, right?
Yeah.
We're a quarterback away. We're a quarterback away. They weren't saying a quarterback away from winning the division. They were a quarterback away from contending for a championship. That's why, to me, your points are fair. But that's why Super Bowl or bust, based on what the Jets have been putting out there in terms of that quarterback.
I mean, Josh Allen is Super Bowl or bust. Joe Burrow is Super Bowl or bust. Somebody's going to be denied. But just being able to be in a conversation, being the top five in AFC, I think, is what Jet fans are looking for, being relevant and being, you know, relevant in the NFL.
Who? Jets?
Don't be hating.
No, I picked them. I told them if they're able to get certain people.
Your code already don't work with the Falcons no more because you didn't stand up harder.
No. My code worked. My code worked.
Arthur Blaine said, hey.
That's why I had to stop you. Hold the hell on, Bart. Hold the hell on, Bart.
Savage.
Love my people in Atlanta.
I mean, look. At this point, you know.
Value for your lumber now.
Home Depot stocks, baby.
Look, it's been a long time. It's been, you know, 1969. All right. Everyone here at First Take, thanks for hanging with us. Happy birthday, Molly. Everyone have a great weekend.
Man.